father-in-law's dad's arm. And they stung him. One stung him after all these mosquitoes had been on his arm for quite a while during a picnic, a family picnic. And when that one got him, he said, "Ah, just for that, you all get off." And we talked about when God says enough is enough. And tonight, we want to go back to that same title, When Will God Say Enough is Enough? Actually, that's the name of the message tonight. When will God say enough is enough? And so please take your Bible. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 1, 2, and 3. You can turn to chapter 1. And as you're turning in your copy of God's Word, here's a true story in the history of the nation of Israel. You remember God had chosen King David to be the king of Israel, and he promised David in 2 Samuel 7 that his kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. Unlike Saul, who was removed, David was promised by God, "Now your kingdom will be everlasting. From your loins will come an individual that will be of the seed of David that will reign forever and ever and ever." And we know that that king is none other than Yehoshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus. And so David, at this point of 1 Kings chapter 1 and following, he was now, he had completed 40 years of being king, 40 years as being king. He was king over Judah first, and then he was king over the rest of Israel for a total of 40 years. Now, David had gone through a lot. His body was worn out at this point. He couldn't go on anymore. But David, the Bible tells us, had sworn to Solomon that he would be king. And the reason was because God Almighty had told David through the prophet that Solomon was God's chosen king to continue on after David left the scene and went the way of all the earth, like the Bible says. But very interestingly, and I want to say this tonight, David's firstborn son was a son named Ammon. Ammon raped his half-sister Tamar and was killed by his secondborn son, who was Absalom. Subsequently, that led to a lot of problems in the family, and Absalom rebelled, and he was killed by Joab, David's general. And so the second son was to be heir, and he wasn't able to be the king. The third son was a boy by the name of Adonijah. And Adonijah, the son of Higgith, he concluded, "Well, I guess I should be sent king. I'm third in line." He should get a clue that the first two both died. And now Adonijah is going to have problems. But Adonijah was good looking like Absalom. Adonijah had a personality that was very winsome, and people took to him. And so Adonijah decided that he would be king. And here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. "Then Adonijah, the son of Higgith, exalted himself, saying..." By the way, you're not supposed to exalt yourself. Amen. You're to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God will exalt you. You don't have to exalt yourself. But it says, "Then Adonijah, the son of Higgith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He got the general of David's army named Joab." And that's no small get. He got Joab to back his claim to be king. And he was the very general of army. I couldn't help but think of who was that guy? Smiley Miley, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when he didn't even listen to what the constitutional authority, the president, said when he ordered certain things to be done, and Smiley Miley did his own thing. He ought to be held for treason, and they ought to get that guy. Take the smile right off his face. But anyway, I digress, but here Joab, without David's order, without going to David, as he was likely to do, Joab did this on more than one occasion, he now said, "Yes, I'm going to back you, Adonijah, you're going to be the king. And then, not only that, but the high priest who had been with David, who left the priests at Nob when they were killed by Doeg the Edomite, and all the priests were slain by that wicked man, and Abiathar was the only one that escaped, and he brought David the ephod so that he could have the Urim and Thummim and know God's will on specific matters, because it would spell out the answer to David, what he should do. And David loved that, and Abiathar had been with him. He got Abiathar to go and back this guy, Adonijah, contrary to the prophecy of the word of God and contrary to the swear oath of David that Solomon would be the next king after him. And so all of these things began to develop. And it says in 1 Kings that they had a big inauguration party. And in chapter 1, they had food and they were having a big party. You know what it kind of reminds me of? The inauguration of Joe Biden. Remember that when Joe Biden got inaugurated? Remember all of that? And I remember January 6th when a number of people went to say to the senators and to the Congress people, do not do this without investigating, because we the people believe that there is fraud. There is a problem with this election. The federal government, people in the government, in the high places of the government, they had people in there, FBI people in there, to stir up trouble on January 6th. Why? So they could accuse Donald Trump of insurrection. And that's what they've done. Why'd they do that? So that they could then disqualify him from being president. Make no mistake about it, the globalist cabal, the shadow government in the United States, the deep state, is united to make sure that Donald Trump will never sit on the chair there in the Oval Office, because they do not want him as president. I don't care what the deep state wants. I don't care what the globalist cabal wants. I do not care tonight what, my friend, the shadow government wants. And when I say the shadow government, let me just say it's Barack Obama, it's Hillary Clinton, it's Bill Clinton, and these folks here. I don't care what they want. I care what God Almighty wants. I care what God Almighty wants. And so tonight, these people united together to have an inauguration of a king of Israel. At the same time, Nathan the prophet, who prophesied that David would have Solomon be king, Nathan, they didn't invite him. They didn't invite David's wife, Bathsheba, to be king, Solomon's mother. No, they didn't invite her. They did not invite, you see, these people, and certainly they never told King David about what was going on. You watch out right there. They never even mentioned it to King David. Let me tell you, whenever you keep things from the leader, then you become the leader. When you keep things from the leader, and you, that's why in a home, I believe father knows best. You tell dad what's going on. You don't just tell mom. Mom needs to tell dad. We had a rule in our home, you tell mom, she'll tell dad. Why? Because the head of the home is the husband, not the wife. Amen. And I'm just saying it tonight. So listen to me tonight. David was being not invited. He wasn't even being told. And so Nathan the prophet, the man of God, comes in. Thank God for a man like Nathan the prophet. Amen. We need some men of God today that have a prophetic voice that will speak what God says. Not what's popular, not what man wants, but what does God say? And by the way, there's nothing that is out of bounds when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God. This Bible touches everything. And so, you see, Nathan came in and he told Bathsheba what's going on. And he said, has David heard about this? You need to tell David what is going on. And so she listened to what Nathan said, and she went in to tell David what is going on. And David right away said, God said Solomon is the king. I have sworn, and it's going to happen. He said, you take my personal animal, you put Solomon on that, you have the trumpets blown, and you say, God save the king. And he told him exactly what to do. And so you know what? You had two kings of Israel. You had Adonijah, who was having an inauguration, and you had the real king, who was Solomon. You know, it kind of reminds me of what happened with Biden. I don't call Biden President Biden. Never have. Never will. They should have never named Biden Street after him. He's a crook and a liar. And yet, they go after Donald Trump to try to get him from even being able to run. It's never been done in the history of the United States. And it just shows you they've gone too far. They've come right out in the open. Even the American people are beginning to see what is going on here, and that they are not even going to, if they have their way, allow Donald J. Trump to run for office. And a lot of Americans are saying, whether I would have voted for him or not, I'm going to vote for him just because of. Americans are saying enough is enough. Nathan the prophet said enough is enough. I'm going to have to speak up. I'm going to have to say something. And so you see, I believe that God had a purpose for Israel, and the devil fought against Israel and wanted to put in his king there, and his name was Absalom, and his name after him was Adonijah. But God said, no, I want David on the throne, and after David I want Solomon. This is my choice. God has a plan. I believe God has a plan for the United States of America. I believe that we have a country, and God raised up the United States of America, and the one country that stood for the nation of Israel when it was voted in the UN to be the nation among nations was the United States. The United States had veto power. And under Harry Truman, his former partner was a Jew, and he came to Harry Truman, who was president at the time. He said, you need to back Israel. And Harry Truman made sure his UN ambassador backed Israel. And the United States was raised up to be a friend of Israel in these last days. And we've also, I've been raised up because God has blessed America with money, with wealth. Not so that we could be rich in ourselves, but so that we could support missionaries, so that we could support buses, so that we could get the gospel out to the world. And so Satan, you see, he knows this, and Satan wants to make the United States of America be part of a one world government. He wants us to be under the beast and the Antichrist. And the Bible says that Satan is moving and he's licking his chops to take over the whole world. So the whole world will have to do exactly what they said. You ever heard of the WHO, the World Health Organization? And the World Health Organization wants to control America so that if they come up with some plan called COVID or something like COVID, they could take away your First Amendment liberties. They could take away your Second Amendment liberties. They could shut down the churches. They can stop you, even though they have no constitutional authority to do it. They're a globalist institution. But they want to get this treaty in and get America to give away their sovereignty so that we can be part. And who's behind this? Satan.
Right.
And that's why what I'm preaching on tonight is not mere politics. It's Bible prophecy. And it's now Bible prophecy right in your face. And we as believers in America need to know what to do. Isn't it sad that God's people didn't have discernment to know who the true king was? Joab didn't know. Adonijah didn't know. Abiathar the priest didn't know. I see some preacher friends of mine, they don't even know enough to discern what I'm talking to you about tonight. I see believers that don't have enough discernment to understand what we're talking about tonight. And I want to say tonight, if you're going to be an effective soul winner, if you're going to be an effective servant of God, you better know what Israel ought to do. Like the tribe of Issachar, when they knew what Israel ought to do, because they understood the word of God. And so, let me just say something tonight. He who controls the money controls everything. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. By the way, Donald J. Trump, since he was indicted and found guilty in a kangaroo court of mislabeling an expenditure, and they really haven't even got the crime yet. Since he was found guilty, 34 counts. If you take it to its logical conclusion, he'd be in jail forever. Since they have done that, do you know that $200 million came in just about 24, 48 hours? That's how much money has come in to his campaign. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And Thomas Jefferson and the great liberty patriots that were part of our founding, they said if America ever gets a central bank to control the printing of its money, contrary to the Constitution, which is supposed to be under the power of Congress, if they ever allow a central bank to control our money, we will be slaves in our own land. And that's exactly what began to happen after Jefferson said that. But thank God, a brave president by the name of Andrew Jackson said, I am going to kill the central bank. Nicholas Biddle was the Treasury Secretary. Two times they tried to kill Jackson. Two different times. These money masters tried to kill Jackson, and their gun misfired each time. Jackson served out his 8 terms. He killed the central bank in this country through his courage in 1836. But let me tell you something. The devil doesn't quit. Amen? He knew the end times was coming. He knew the Laodicean age was coming in the 20th century. And so in 1913, the devil got the Congress right around Christmas time to get together Jekyll Island, Georgia, with a bunch of money masters that were not patriots, were not United States people. They were globalists. And in 1913, he got Woodrow Wilson to sell us down the river. And he signed a bill that gave power to the central bank, which is a bunch of international money masters, not United States people, to print money, to have the authority to print money. And then we pay them interest on the money that they can create out of thin air. That's what the 1913 bill provided. And so now income tax goes to pay them, not infrastructure. And they control the country, and that has been going on since 1913. You want to get freedom back? Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Get rid of the Fed. End the Fed. And so anyway, there was a president in the 20th century that tried to print money outside of the system. Does one of the men know who that president was that tried to print money outside of the system? Who was it? Yell it up.
John F. Kennedy.
He tried to do it, and he said, I am going to go to war with the CIA. I'm going to end that. And they killed Kennedy. The CIA killed John F. Kennedy. It wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. It was the CIA that killed Kennedy. And they killed him because, you see, the president, who the Constitution says has the power to execute the laws of the Congress and of the Constitution, the president, you see, is elected by the people. And they said, no, we control everything. I'm talking about the CIA and the FBI and these deep state agencies that we have the power. And so they spearheaded the killing of John F. Kennedy. And so ever since then, every president, more or less, has been a puppet of the deep state, of the shadow government. And so enters Donald J. Trump. The deep state had determined that Hillary Clinton was going to be president, but they miscalculated some things in the country, and so Donald J. Trump was elected, and it surprised them. And so I want to just say to you tonight that Adonijah was the king. He was exalted as the king. He was called the king, but it wasn't right. He wasn't really the king. It was Solomon. And I want to say to you tonight, now Joe Biden is supposedly the president. He is not in God's economy. He has seized the power, but he doesn't even have the power, because the man, as you can see, does not even have his senses together. You say, well, who's directly behind him? The man who said, I want to be able to put the words in the earpiece, and I want to have another term as president. His name is Barack Obama. Right. He's a puppet of the globalists, but Barack Obama never moved out of Washington. He took his chief of the staff of his White House staff, Valerie Jarrett. She stayed in Washington. And what you're seeing, all these crazy things that Biden's doing, it's Barack Obama. This is his third term. All the stuff that you're seeing about the border and all this, this is Barack Obama. And he has the blessing of the globalist. In fact, George Soros said some years ago, when Trump won, he made a speech and he said, Donald Trump right now is president of the United States. He said, but that's temporary. He said in 2020, he will no longer be president. Lindsey Williams used to say that there are a group of globalists that they decide what's going on in the world, and they do it, and it has to happen. They have had that much power, you see, under Satan. Remember, Satan has the kingdoms of this world. But remember, even Satan has to get God's permission. And so tonight, I ask you a question. When will God say, enough is enough? When will God say, enough is enough? And so Adonijah exalted himself. And the globalists exalted Joe Biden and put him in there because they exalted themselves. And they said, we're in control. We'll decide what is going on. I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi as part of the deep state. I'm talking about all of these people that are part of the deep state. And they said, we're going to do what we're going to do. And that's it. Nobody can stop us. And so what did they do? Obama, with Anthony Fauci, developed in North Carolina, in Chapel Hill, Duke University, they developed what has been called a clone of a virus, a SARS-2 virus. Bill Gates said, here's what we're going to call it, C.O.V.I.D. And that is Certification of Vaccination ID. That was Bill Gates' plan. Then he bought the vaccine. And the patent on it under Microsoft is 060606. I looked it up. And he said, I'm going to buy the patent on the vaccine and make a whole lot of money on it. And not only that, the vaccine will sterilize a lot of women, and sterilization rates are up. The vaccine will kill a lot of people, and probably 20 million people have been killed by the vaccine so far. And that the vaccine will reduce the population and kill people. You see, Satan is a thief. He steals election. He's a murderer, and he's a liar. He comes to steal, Jesus said, and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why the real president wants to get back to the Constitution, wants to get back to liberty and what our founding fathers gave us. And so they, the very thing they're accusing him of, they're doing, you see. And they are doing these things, and so they have seized this power. And the amazing thing is that George Soros is one of these globalist money masters. And therefore, he has a lot of money. Their money is silver and gold, but they give us the Federal Reserve notes where you owe money on it and it's filled with debt, and they give you that money. But George Soros, the one that said Trump will not be there when 2020 comes around, he's going to be beat. He was behind, along with Bill Gates and Fauci and the rest of them, moving the research in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They moved it to Wuhan, China. And then I believe with all of my heart, they released that virus. And I have evidence. I don't have time to get into it. But they released that virus in Wuhan, China, in order to make it so it would be easier to steal the election. And that is part of what they used to steal the election in 2020, as well as kill a lot of people and tried to shut down churches, and a lot of churches did shut down. Thank God this church never shut down during that time. So I'm just saying that when will God say enough is enough? Let me say, number one, you can know for sure that it will happen shortly after the tribulation and the martyrs cry out. In Revelation chapter 5, listen to these words, verses 9 and 10. Here's what the Bible says. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. When will God say enough is enough? How long, O Lord? How long is a prayer that will go up from the tribulation martyrs in heaven? Lord, how long are you going to allow this stuff to go on? And God says to them, just a little bit longer now. We're almost done now. Just a little bit longer, and then I am going to step in. When God says enough is enough, let me tell you, nobody will be able to deny that God has stepped in and that God has waited. Let's not forget, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's not forget that tonight. Let's remember that tonight. When God says enough is enough, it's enough. Amen. And I thank God I serve a God who's greater than Satan. Greater, Brother Joe, is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And God says, now be patient just a little bit longer. Enough isn't quite enough, even after all you've gone through. You know, my Bible tells me that we're not going to bring in the kingdom by preaching the gospel. We may see revival. We may see great things happen. And I'm not limiting God. Amen and amen. But we're not going to bring in the kingdom. Ultimately, we know that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Ultimately, we know that the kingdoms of this world must first become the kingdoms of the Jewish Antichrist and the Gentile beast. We know that from Revelation 13. We know that from Revelation 17. We are not blinded to that, but we're going to still fight it with all of our might. We're going to fight it. Said to Brother Jose, he's fighting a battle. We're going to fight it with you. We're not going to back down and be fatalistic and just say, oh, well, this is... No, no, no. We're going to fight it. And I thank God, listen to me tonight, I thank God for a real president that is a fighter. Amen. He may be the same age as the fake president, but he's got something. He got something. And God put that on him to fight. And I believe he's a Jehu figure as well as some other things. And as a Jehu figure, I believe he's got unfinished business, beloved. Amen. I believe he's got unfinished business because Jehu not only killed Jezebel, who I agree with Jonathan Kahn finds the antitype in Hillabel, who is Hillary Clinton. Jezebel. He not only killed her, but Jehu killed Joram, who was her son, and Barack Obama's her political son. I personally believe, and I've said it for years now, you've heard me, that Barack Obama will be ripped and stripped of his presidency and he'll go to jail. Or he may lose his life, legally. And I'm talking about because of the things that he's done. I'm talking Hillary, that witch, wicked witch. I'm talking about these people, that wicked witch of the West. And I told this to my son for years. He said, look, just what you said, everything that you said is now true of Donald Trump. It hasn't happened to Biden. It hasn't happened to Hillabell. It hasn't happened to... I said, but don't you see that that has to happen first? I said the Republicans would never send them to jail. Trump didn't do it in his first coming as president. He didn't have the stomach for it. He didn't declare martial law when he could have. He didn't do it. Didn't have the stomach. But I said now. Now if he gets in there. Now if he gets in there, there's going to be a call for that. I'm not talking about a call for arms. That's what the globalists want. They want people to take up arms right now because they think they can shut it down. Right now, the globalists, if they have their way, not only would they kill people through COVID, do you know right now they're trying to provoke a nuclear war with Russia? Do you know that as we're speaking in the Ukraine? They are sending 2,000-pound bombs to shoot at targets in Russia. And Vladimir Putin said, if you do that, we will respond with nuclear weapons. And if it starts with tactical, it's usually just a few days, it becomes the full thing. You need to realize, beloved, the world that we're in today, and that our country is no longer run by a constitutional elected president. Our country is run by a bunch of wicked, satanic people who take children and sell them as sex slaves, who abort babies. We are living in captivity. And you, if you watch ABC, NBC, you'll be lulled to sleep because they're set up worse than Joseph Goebbels, who, if you went to Hitler's Germany in 1937 and 38, and you listened to the media, you would be mesmerized by Joseph Goebbels, just like people by watching ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC. They're just mind-numb robots. And they try to shut anybody up who's got a voice that will tell the truth. But I want to say to you that you cannot shut up God's voice. You cannot shut up God's voice. And when will God say enough is enough? You can know for sure it's going to happen shortly after this great tribulation that is coming. But secondly, let me say, you can know for sure that it will happen when the container is full of the prayers needed for it. It says in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 8, just before God pours out his day of the Lord wrath, it says, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. You know what? Your prayers are not ignored by God. Do you know God has a container in heaven? He puts your tears in his bottle. He puts your prayers in his bottle. You say, whose prayers? The prayers of his people, the born-again believers who happen to be the elect of God Almighty. He hears your prayers. And it says that they ascended up before God. They come through Jesus. Your prayers come to Jesus. He gives them to his angel, who gives them to the Father. Your prayers come before God. Now listen to me. It says, and the angel took the censer, that big container filled with the prayers, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. In other words, when will God say enough is enough? When the container of your prayers are full, and then he pours out the answer in the form of judging the enemies. Now, some people say, well, we shouldn't pray for vengeance. Well, that's not true of the saints in heaven. They pray for vengeance. And the Bible says that's not true of David. He prayed for vengeance. And precatory psalms. The Bible says this, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So we go to God to pour out the judgment. And he does it. He knows when enough is enough. He knows when the time is right. He knew when the Canaanites need to be judged. He told his saints, no, they're not ready until the days of Joshua. And then they went in there and God's judgment came down. Joshua is a representative of Jesus, the same one that had his garments filled with blood. He was a bloody Savior. His blood was innocent. It was shed so that our sins could be paid for. God allowed that. When he comes the second time, it won't be with his blood. It will be with the blood of his enemies. He is going to pour out his judgment. But do you know what? God can bring about a mini day of the Lord before that. Do you know what? God is able to hear the prayers of his own elect. And I think about this and I say, why did God raise up Donald Trump in the first place? If not to bring judgment on the deep state. You know, Jesus, when he came the first time, he didn't bring judgment upon his enemies. He saved the world. Trump, when he was elected the first time, he was saving the country politically and economically. But when he comes back the second time, perhaps he'll come with judgment on the systems of evil that have been controlling this country. At least that's what I'm praying for. When God will say enough is enough and pour out a mini day of the Lord's wrath, and you put my people through tribulation, you put January 6th innocent people in jail while Hunter Biden goes free, Joe Biden goes free, Hillary goes free, all these wicked people like Comey and the rest of them and Strzok and his lover, and all these people go free. When will God say enough is enough? I pray God save them, and if you don't save them, then remove them. Remove them. And God is able to do that. The Bible says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? How long? How long? Do you feel like it's a long time? It may be getting close, beloved. The darkest hours just before the dawn, just before the day of the Lord, you know it's going to be the darkest time. The sun, the moon, the stars are going to be darkened. And then the light of the glory of the Lord will break through. I'm just saying, when will God say enough is enough? You can know for sure it will happen shortly after the tribulation, Revelation 5, 9, and 10. You can know for sure that it will happen when the container is full of the prayers of the saints that are needed for it, Revelation 8, 4, and 5. And lastly, you can know for sure that it will happen when history repeats itself. And I go back to 1 Kings chapter 1, 2, and 3. Here you had a situation where you had two presidents or two kings. One was Adonijah and the other was Solomon. Two of them. One was the real one. And the right one, the other, was a fake and an imposter. This is history, amen? This is history. And what happened? The prophet of God came and got the ear of the king, a key man by the name of Nathan. And the king realized, what needed to be done. He told Solomon, and he told those around Solomon what to do. And you had two kings. And when the party was going on, the inauguration was going on, they heard the cheering, the trumpeting. The whole city was in an uproar. Do you know what? Isn't it interesting that Joe Biden can't draw a fly to anything he goes to? But when Donald Trump steps out the door, there are millions of people. Have you noticed that? As soon as David said, you put Solomon on the horse there, let him ride on the animal, he was going down the road, and the crowds were cheering. The populace came up to support him. That was God moving. And guess what? Adonijah got real nervous real quick. Do you think these globalists are getting nervous real quick? Let me tell you something. These guys are as wicked as they come. They want to shut down free speech. Do you know Donald Trump made a statement? He said, one of the men that probably had more to do, and I know he's greater than Rush Limbaugh in his impact, and Rush had great impact. He said, one of the men that was the key person to my getting elected was, does anybody know who he said? Media personality? He said, Alex Jones. As soon as he said that, the target was on Alex Jones. He was put on a terrorist watch list. He was declared an enemy of the globalist state. And they went after Alex Jones. They found the crime, Sandy Hook, when they invented it. They did a show trial for him just like they do. Hitler always did show trials. Stalin did show trials. What are they? They're rigged trials with rigged judges so they can make themselves look like they're legal when they're just a bunch of cheaters. And so they did the show trial, you know, on Alex Jones. He was declared guilty before. They just said the trial is just to determine your sentencing. That's not America. You're innocent until proven guilty. This is not America. And so Alex Jones declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I was listening to Alex Jones Saturday, and there are people coming right into his place to shut him down right now. Even though he had money, even though he's done their rules according to Chapter 11, that they're sending people in to shut him down. This was Saturday. He said, I'm sleeping right on the property here. And he said, unless the police come with a judge's order, I'm not going to give way. He said, but if I have to give way, I'll go to Elon Musk, I'll go to Twitter, I'll find out what I'm going to do. But I just want you to know tonight that these individuals are not patriots. They're not constitutionalists. They're not American people. These people are enemies of the United States of America. These people are enemies of our Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, the right to bear arms, and so forth. They're against the Bill of Rights. And I'm just saying that you can know for sure that God will say enough is enough when God allows history to repeat itself. You say, well, Pastor, what happened to Adonijah? Well, Adonijah got scared. He went into the temple of God and went into the altar there in Jerusalem, and he grabbed onto the horns of the altar, and that is so that Solomon couldn't have him killed. Solomon sent his general, not Joab anymore, but Benaiah. He said, go tell him, as long as he proves himself a worthy man, I will not execute him. Let him go. He went to his home. But he wasn't a worthy man. Neither was Joab, nor Abiathar the priest. Adonijah came up with an idea. Who was David's last wife? It was a young lady by the name of Abishag, the Shunammite. And she was his young wife. And so, you know, if you get married to the king's wife, then you are as good as the king. Amen. So that devil went to Solomon's mother and said, hey, just ask your son if I can, if I can marry Abishag. Just that's the only thing I'm asking for. Just let me marry Abishag. Well, either one of two things. Either she was not clear what was going on here. Or number two, she was clear and knew what was going to happen. And she told Solomon, well, this is the request. Would you grant this? And Solomon, being a wise young man, said, well, he should have asked for the kingdom then. He wants the kingdom. And Joab wants the kingdom. He said, okay. He said, what you need to do is, Benaiah, come over here. Go kill him. And he slew him. Adonijah was dead. Would to God that history would repeat itself. And not only that, but David had told Solomon, now son, you're a wise man. I'm going the way of all the earth, but you carry on. You're a wise man. He said, you do what you need to do. He said, Joab, my general, Joab. He did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. He was David's general for many years, but he did things he shouldn't have done. Two things David mentioned. He killed Abner. He murdered him in time of peace. He stuck him under the fifth rib and his blood came out. He said then another time after he killed his son, Absalom, he said, after he did that, I made Amasa, Joab's cousin, my nephew, king, general over my army. He didn't like it, so he killed Amasa. He jammed him under the fifth rib, and he lay wallowing in his blood. He said, you do not let his gray hairs go to the grave without execution. He shed blood! Right. He needs to pay. But David said, Solomon, you take care of it. Well, Joab was no fool. He went to the temple, and Benaiah went after him to kill him, and he ran and got and held on to the horns of the altar, thinking, you know, Adonijah got away. That's the place of peace. They can't kill you in the temple. Benaiah came back to Solomon. He said, what do I do? He said, go in there and kill him right there on the altar. Benaiah went in. Joab dead. Abiathar the priest, Solomon said to him, you were with my father. You've been a faithful priest in times of his affliction. I could kill you, but I won't do it. He said, I'm going to send you into exile, and Zadok is going to replace you as priest. I believe, Brother Bob, there's going to be a lot of ecclesiastical leaders in this country that are going to be ripped and stripped of their power. And if God says enough is enough, they're going to be brought down. And we could have an open door for independent fundamental Baptist churches. Amen. That stand up and do the right thing. One more guy I haven't mentioned. His name was Shimei. How many have heard of Shimei? Shimei, when David was being pursued by Absalom, he ran for his life with some of his mighty men. And as he went, Shimei cursed him and said, cursed you dot blankety blank brick-a-back pockalomer king. He said, you shed Saul's family blood. You killed innocent blood. You took over for Saul. Now you're getting your own, you dirty brick-a-back pockalomer. He cursed him out. Threw sand at him. Well, one of David's mighty men said, look, I'm going to go over there and kill him for you, king. I'm going to slay that dog right now. And David said, no, don't do it. He said, God is dealing with me. He said, I believe this man is saying things that I need to hear. I've done worse than he's saying. I need to just accept this. God is letting my own son rebel against me and try to kill me. Why should I kill this man? No, don't touch him. And so his soldier didn't do it. So Shimei comes back and David is getting ready to die, and he talks to Solomon about Shimei. He said, "Now I still remember Shimei." By the way, don't mess with a king. They have a memory, and they have a reach beyond the grave. And the king said, he goes, "Now listen," he said, "you're a wise man. You know what you ought to do for Shimei." And he told him about the situation. And so Solomon goes to Shimei. He says, "Okay, here's my verdict for you. I'm not going to kill you." He said, "I want you to live in Jerusalem. But one time you go over the brook Kidron, you go out of Jerusalem and you step over that brook," he said, "no, you're going to die. That's your life. You've killed yourself." He said, "All you're saying is good. Thank you, King." And he lived there in peace for 3 years. And then some of his animals got away and were taken. And he said, "Oh, I'm going to go get them." And he went over the brook Kidron. And he went to a place in Gaza right now, in a place called Gath, right now where the war is going on. And he got his animals back. He came back. He said, "That's great. I got it." Solomon sent word, says, "You're a dead man. You killed yourself." And he was executed. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about, I want to see history repeat itself. I want to see God's justice. I'm the deep state. I'm the shadow government. I want to see God's justice upon the globalist cabal that has stolen, that has killed people, that has shed innocent blood. If it's good enough for David, it's good enough for me. When will God say, "Enough is enough"? Now, I'm not here to get people killed, but I'm here to say these people are killing people. And I don't want them to keep killing people, innocent people. I want a freedom to live a peaceable life in the constitutional republic that our forefathers bled and died to give us, that our soldiers bled and died to give us. You say, "Pastor, what if they throw you in jail?" Give me liberty or give them death. Amen tonight. that's the way I say it. Give me liberty, give them death. That's my statement. Tell Patty, Steve, translate that. Amen. But listen to me tonight. When will God say enough is enough? You can know for sure it's going to happen shortly after the tribulation martyrs are saying, "God, how long?" You could know for sure it will happen when the container for God's judgment gets filled up from the prayers of his elect. Certainly before the day of the Lord in Revelation, but whenever God's container gets filled up, because you can know for sure it'll happen when history repeats itself. God judged Hitler. He tried to wipe out the Jews and set up his globalist government. And God said, "No, it's not time yet, Hitler. I'm giving more time, and I'm going to make Israel become a nation." Would to God he'd do it again. Had he give us a little more time. But are you going to do what you need to do and prove yourself somebody that gives a reason to God to say, "I'm going to delay the timeline so you can finish the work that I have in America"? Let's determine tonight that we're not going to be selfish and cause God to just say, "I'm going to have to bring down judgment for the whole world." Let's pray. Amen. Together tonight. I wonder tonight, we've spoken about when God will say enough is enough.